Some Pharisees approached Jesus and asked, "Is it against the law for a man to divorce his wife?" They were testing him. He answered them, "What did Moses command you?" They said, "Moses allowed us to draw up a writ of dismissal and so to divorce." Then Jesus said to them, "It was because you were so unteachable that he wrote this commandment for you. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. This is why a man must leave father and mother, and the two become one body. They are no longer two, therefore, but one body. So then what God has united, man must not divide." Back in the house, the disciples questioned him again about this, and he said to them, "The man who divorces his wife and marries another is guilty of adultery against her. And if a woman divorces her husband and marries another, she is guilty of adultery too." People were bringing little children to him for him to touch them. The disciples turned them away, but when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the little children come to me. Do not stop them, for it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. I tell you solemnly, anyone who does not welcome the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." Then he put his arms round them, laid his hands on them, and gave them his blessing. This is the kind of gospel passage a preacher would rather ignore, or wish even that the text were easier to discuss. For one thing, most Catholic preachers at celebrations of the Eucharist this weekend will not have experienced marriage as a spouse, whatever about as a child of a marriage. And priests may well feel, as they have been felt, made to feel by some, inadequate, not up to the task. But I will press on now, knowing that you can click and close this site. It's easy for me, but it may or may not be easy for you to hear my comment on this gospel text. Feel free to wave goodbye with the click of your mouse. At least I will be spared the embarrassment of your walking out of church while I preach. I hope you will not go away, but that's your decision. It's my decision now what to say about this intriguing text in the Gospel according to Mark. Or is it? Is it my decision? Perhaps there is a wisdom contained in these lines, and it's my privilege and duty to try to share it, to understand it first, to comment on it, and perhaps make it accessible. These days that's not easy. It could be there is a wisdom here that is valid for all time, and is not yours or mine to jettison. But let's see. Yes, there is a sense in which Jesus is an idealist, and he dreams that the condition of man and woman before the fall from grace, before the sin of Adam and Eve, might indeed be recreated. But even if Jesus is a dreamer and an idealist, it's not because he's not wide awake to the world in which he lived. It's because he sees so much hope for man and woman, if only they can be imaginative, not lose their capacity to want more, to want better, to strive for a life together that is fulfilling and not restrictive. It can happen. What he most decries here, as we heard, is the hardness of heart, unteachability, that led to Moses introducing some initial divorce legislation a few centuries before his own time. But Jesus seems to indicate that that is not the final word on how man and woman can live together in harmony. No, there was a better situation at one point, and there is hope of locating an attitude to one another once more that involves fidelity, trust, and yes, love. Jesus would want the men folk of his day to snap out of a philosophy of relationships that sees their wives as property. That kind of idea is clear, especially in the final couple of the Ten Commandments. You shall not desire your neighbor's wife, or indeed your neighbor's house, or field, or slave, or ox, or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. It's painfully clear. In the days such legislation was introduced into the world of Judaism, and it carried over into Christianity, the wife was regarded as the husband's property, and the injunction about how you were not to view your next-door neighbor's wife was the same kind of prohibition that regarded your neighbor's ox, his house, or his farmland. Jesus wants the people who questioned him, and they were Pharisees, they were men, to move away from that sense of a woman as one's possession. She was made by the Lord God in the beginning, he reminds them, just as the male of the species was. When they go to live together, and perhaps even promise to be one, they are just that. The two become one body. There's no chance of your wanting to break a body in two. It would lose its life. If you break the bond of union between the man and woman who have been united at some point, something valuable is lost. It goes against the sense of union that is so tied up with the sensibility of love. I imagine, and this is a very personal remark now, I imagine that if the union has ceased to exist, if the planned devotion of one to the other is no more, if the building up within the family unit of an image of God's love is no longer possible, the sense of realism that pervades all of human life will come to the fore and may well guide a way forward for the long-term good of all. I conclude. It's perhaps not at all coincidental that the next tiny story relates to children, and how many children have had their whole lives upset, torn apart, by the perhaps selfish interest-seeking of parents who split for a reason that ought not have rendered the child a confused and wandering mind and body, that makes the child again begin to doubt even the loyalty of a devotion on the devotion of a parent, or both. Jesus calls for a fresh imagination that sees beyond the limitations of recent legislation, that sees a way where man and woman can respect and honour one another with loyalty and fidelity.